If past elections predict the future, we know that voter turnout is highest among voters 65 and older. And we know that turnout is lowest among voters 18 to 29. That's according to the U.S. Census Bureau. And when the Pew Research Center looked at midterm elections, they found that even back when the baby boomers were the same ages as Gen Xers and millennials are today, the boomers showed up at the polls more often than today's younger generations. So why don't younger voters turn out as often as older counterparts? And why does it matter? I turn to Dr. Kay Kawashima Ginsberg, Director of the Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, known as CIRCLE, at Tufts University to find out more. CIRCLE is the leading researcher on youth civic and political engagement. CIRCLE is nonpartisan and does not endorse parties or candidates. Welcome, Kay.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Why has younger voter turnout fallen behind older voter turnout in recent elections, and is this changing in the 2020 caucus and primary election cycle so far?
Great question. So it's interesting that the research you mentioned looked at the midterm turnout for generations as they get older. We have actually looked at the presidential turnout as the entire cohort of 18 to 24-year-olds become eligible to vote. And according to that analysis, millennials actually are surpassing the pacing of the Gen Xers and even the boomers. And of course, that the youngest generation, the Gen Zs, who are now 18 to 23-year-old, really showed themselves up in 2018 midterm. So it's really interesting to sort of continue to follow that. That said, there are reasons why young people have fallen behind in a turnout, and it has a lot to do with how people are reached out generally for campaigns. So in midterm elections, there's usually more limited resources for voter outreach, voter registration. What they do, though, then, is to look at the data. Who have voted, what neighborhood, what segments of the population in the past? And then they would reach out to those people. It's even more so if they're registered with a specific party. Statistically, all of these factors, demographic, age, past history of voting, and partisan identity, increase their likelihood that they would vote in the way that each party wants them to vote. So they're the ones that are really hearing from them the most often. Who leaves that behind is young people and the new voters. New voters who are just turning 18, 19, 20 this year have never had a chance to vote in the presidential election. Young people tend to stay independent or unaffiliated even if they're registered to vote.
I see.
Because of that, they're not spoken to. So, yeah, they're mostly ignoring young people. It's also true if young people do show up to town hall meetings or, you know, go to events, they may not be able to speak about young people's issue from youth lens in a way that matters to young people, but I'm talking about even more basic level issue where it's much less likely for young people to hear from campaigns, especially midterms and primaries, than older people.
Now, what are you finding so far in terms of the 2020 caucuses and primaries? I think things looked very good in Iowa, but maybe not so good in the states after that.
Yeah. So, you know, overall, when we compare the turnout this primary season to other comparable years, which is not 2016, it's actually 2012 and 2004, when the primaries mostly had one competitive races, the youth turnout is actually on par or slightly better this year. And of course, they're continuing to vote in plurality for Senator Bernie Sanders.
Now, I understand that CIRCLE is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates, but could you fill our listeners in on just who younger voters are turning out for in the races to date? I believe you mentioned Bernie Sanders. Are they showing up for Bernie Sanders, and are they doing so at rates that can actually change outcomes?
Yeah, great question. So it's first important to note that whoever votes in the primaries from the youth population is not representative at all of the general youth population. So although young people voted in really decisive margin for Democratic House candidates in 2018 and a few elections before that, it doesn't mean that all the young people are, you know, progressives, the kinds of people that would support Bernie Sanders' policy. There's a lot of other moderate young people who are simply not voting. So that's important to note that first, just so that we don't assume whoever's coming to vote for Bernie Sanders today is a breakup of or makeup of the youth population. The young people are not likely to hear from primary campaigns, even more or less or even less so than the general and midterm, because it always has had low youth turnout, regardless of which generation you're looking at. It could be even 2008. They were still lagging behind older generations. So they're likely to be left out of such a limited resource campaign. They need to kind of show up to rallies to hear from the candidates directly. So nobody's really talking to them right now.
Okay.
So that's one thing. But the second thing is that, you know, we really can't take young people to show up without actually helping them learn how to participate from early on and having this complicated participation rules for caucuses and primaries certainly aren't helping. So what I mean by that is that young people are often just starting to understand how politics work, especially if they're 18, 19-year-old, you know, the first time they might be going into general election. But then the laws differ from state to state. You know, good 40% of young people are in college, for example. So they may have been moving from one county to another or one state to another when the laws are just completely different as to who get to register, how many days they need to wait, what kind of ID they need to bring. These details can really overwhelm young people who are already busy with the life and school and other things that are going on as young people. They also tend to have less flexible jobs. If you think about early part of our careers, we had maybe hourly wage jobs or retail jobs that really had no kind of freedom as to how they want to schedule their day. So again, okay, if we're talking about participation, that itself can be sort of a daunting barrier. But a lot of it also, again, has to do with lack of outreach to young people.
Okay. Do you think younger voters generally will show up in the general election or will they stay home?
So there is really no indication or research that I know of that suggests that the youth turnout in primary is strongly correlated with youth turnout in general election. And there's really good reasons for that. One is, of course, is that there is 9 months almost between now and the general election. There's a lot whoever nominees get to be can do to talk to young people, make sure they really understand what they're coming from, whether they're, you know, President Trump, who's an incumbent who will be running, or whoever becomes a nominee for the Democratic Party, to make sure they're actually listening to young people. And if young people really feel like they represent their values and the priorities and the policies that they really support, they will come out to vote. President Obama, for example, did that really well. That did require a huge amount of mobilization of other young people who volunteered or worked for the campaign. They put the investment into actually making young people matter in the campaign and having young people feel that they do have a voice. And that takes time and resources. We can't just turn young people who are turning 18 with just a text message or with a concert or one voter drive to be a lifelong voter. We need much more than that. One other thing I want to mention is also the context of the way young people are growing up in school, which is to say that not a whole lot of civic education is going on. And that's actually findings as well. Research suggests that especially after the No Child Left Behind policies came into place, so much more focus was put on math and language that it really took some of the history and social studies education aside. Young people may not feel the duty to vote, but they may not really feel the agency as a participant in this democratic society.
What should presidential candidates do to encourage younger voters to get out and vote?
So one of the best things that the candidates can do is to actually partner with young people. That includes colleges and universities, but a lot of community organizations, to make sure that they're getting contacted really early on in the cycle, not in September, not in even August. I really, really would like to see campaigns talking to young people by spring, really, to really think about young people as a stakeholder, not a segment of the population that they need. That's, I think, that transaction part of the voter engagement can be really a turnoff for young people because they want to matter. It is a passionate generation that care about equality and fairness, economic mobility, climate change. There's lots of big issues that they care about pretty much unified front on that. But if they feel like candidates don't actually care about those things but need their votes just so they can win, they would see that. And they may not really support any candidate that can prove that young people matter.
And is social media an important part of the outreach?
You know, it really matters as to sort of who the messenger is, not so much the platform itself. That's sort of the research on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because young people are on social media a lot. And in some ways, where they are shifts all the time. So, you know, my generation, which is Gen X, really, is kind of a Facebook people at this point, but young people aren't there. You know, they're on Snapchat, maybe TikTok, Instagram. They're on a different platform. Who shows up in different platform also differs, but what seems to matter is really friends and family who are conveying some of these messages using social media, not so much this big national campaign that would send them, you know, what young people already know as a blast message that's going to hundreds of thousands of people. It's the personal message that matter. In 2018, we really saw that strongly in that it wasn't just social media, but the young people saw other young people doing something to convince peers to register and vote. The other one that really mattered was a sense of belonging to a community, particularly social movement, but others too. Whenever young people felt like they had a home, political home, they were much more likely to vote.
Now, you spoke about a few issues that you thought younger voters were united behind: social justice, equality, climate change, that sort of thing. Give us a better idea, a deeper idea of what issues matter to younger voters, and does it differ? Those, you spoke about some of the issues that the youth are pretty united on, but are there issues, for example, that differ by political party, by gender, by ethnic group? Who cares about what?
Actually, the number one issue in young people's surveys for a while has been affordable health care.
Really?
And that's actually the same as older people, I
believe.
Yes,
it is.
It's actually the same. And, you know, that is in a way interesting to see because 5-6 years ago, we would have seen jobs and economy as a first priority for young people and college affordability too. But this is a generation, particularly Gen Z, that is struggling with a mental health crisis. So not just medical insurance, but really making sure everybody has care for their mental illnesses and emotional wellness seems to be really important. So that might be one of the reasons that's coming up.
I see.
The second thing that's coming up for young people is actually gig economy. So health insurance becomes harder and harder to get if you work as a contractor for 5 different companies, as opposed to like boomer generation who graduate from high school or college and get into a really stable employment with all the benefits. So these things are becoming actually out of reach for even college-educated young people. So I can see why that matters. The other issues that really matter are, of course, racial relations and climate change. Those are pretty big issues. Gun violence and community safety rank somewhere around there, too, although it does vary a little bit between young white people, for example, versus black young people. Latinx young people really thinking about immigration issue as an important issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then Asian American young people naming education often as a number one issue. But those differences are actually quite subtle. And another place where, you know, young men and young women might vary quite a bit is sort of kind of social policies, you might say, like how you would think about people who are transgender in a public setting or in a military, or things like how do we feel about, you know, granting citizenship to all the people who came through DACA. There are some subtle but notable differences between men and women there as well, too.
Do young people care about party affiliation?
Less so than older generation. Again, there's always a little bit of a reason for that, right? So about fully one-third of young people are unaffiliated. And what we don't see is actually young people participating in local party activities as much. But I'm also seeing that presence is actually less and less prominent.
You mentioned one issue that sounded quite intergenerational to me, and that was concerns about availability of health care, with emphasis perhaps by young people on including mental health. Are there any other intergenerational issues that could unite younger and older voters?
I actually see a lot of opportunities for young people to work with older generations. They may approach climate change in different ways, But, you know, there are some real cross-partisan issues like building economy based on green priorities, for example. And there, I can see why young people who are very progressive and Democrats can, of course, get on board with that. But then there are other older people who might be a little bit more conservative to feel like that is a good way to develop economy in our state or region.
Thanks so much for your insights into younger voters, Dr. Kawashima Ginsberg, with the Youth Civic Engagement Project at Tufts University. For KSFR, I'm Mary Lou Cooper.